This podcast is sponsored by Track Hospitality Software. Track by TravelNet Solutions offers a portfolio of innovative software from CRM, vacation rental property management software, to cloud contact center. With integrated software and revenue maximizing solutions, TravelNet Solutions is transforming how hospitality works.
Welcome back to the VRMA Arrival Podcast. Thank you to our friends at Track again for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you to you for listening and joining us here today. My name is Mike Copps. I'm the Executive Director of the Vacation Rental Management Association and your host for this podcast. We've been cranking them out. We're winding down 2019 with some great episodes. This episode is no exception. We are joined by our friend Pierre Becerril with Transparent, the CEO and co-founder. And Pierre, I know I just butchered your last name with my Yankee American accent. You say it much better than I do, and I apologize, but thank you for joining us today. Pierre is the CEO and co-founder of a data intelligence company that focuses on short-term rental benchmarking. That is what Transparent does. They've had some impressive growth that Pierre is going to talk about over the course of the past few years. We discussed that as well as a lot more. I had the good opportunity to meet Pierre at VRMA Europe in 2017. So I've known him for almost a few years now, which gives me the right to butcher his last name. But he's been a great guy and a good friend and partner for VRMA. And speaking of VRMA Europe, Pierre will also be in Lisbon in this March for VRMA's 2020 European Conference. We're looking really forward to that. Registration is open. Registration is also open for our spring forum this April in Chicago. You won't want to miss that. Interactive and hands-on learning. And also our executive summit. Registration just opened for this. We're doing this again. It'll be our second year. The Terranea Resort, beginning of June. This is focused solely on the C-suite for vacation rental management companies. Only two attendees per company. It's an intimate setting. We cap the attendance around 150 so everyone can be in the same room learning and networking. Registration is filling up, so book your spot now. You won't want to miss out on that one. It's going to be good. We've added another half day of education as well. And at these events in 2020, we'll no doubt be promoting the 2020 version of our North American Vacation Rental Survey that we're talking about today. We had a great response to our first one in 2019, but we want to continue to grow this survey year over year. It's going to be a lot more to come on that, and we want to continue to provide more data to support our advocacy and education efforts, and this is a big part of that. So thanks to those who participated, and if you didn't, and even if you did, please participate again in 2020 so we can continue to grow the size and relevance of the survey. So for now, let's focus on those 2019 results. Let's dive right in. Here's Pierre, VRMA Arrival Podcast. Enjoy. All right, Pierre from Transparent, welcome to the VRMA Arrival Podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. That's right. Well, where are you calling in from? It's not morning there, right?
Oh, yeah, it's actually the afternoon. I'm based in Madrid, Spain, so it's 4 p.m. over here.
All right. That's nice. The day is almost over for you, bright and early here in D.C. So speaking of Madrid and Spain and where your company's headquartered, why don't you tell me, as well as the listeners, a little bit about yourself and how you got where you are today.
Sure, sounds good. So I'm French and Spanish, so that's why I've got, you know, bad accent in most every languages.
I think it sounds great.
I actually grew up in France, that's where I got most of it. And around 10 years ago, I moved to Spain, where my father is from, and I started my career there. And started nothing related to short-term rental, worked in finance and in banking before. And then I started a startup aiming at doing packages of flights and short-term rental, and slowly pivoted into, you know, the data side of things and actually using the data we aggregated for our travelers to find them cheap deals and good deals to actually sell that data to the industry and property managers in particular to help them enhance their business. So that's in a few words about me and how I got to this business.
So you've got that aggregated data background. That's interesting. And the financial piece. So that fits in nicely. So tell us a little bit about how that fits in nicely. Tell us about your company, about Transparent, and what you do.
Sure. So we started around 3.5 years ago in 2016. Like I said, it was based on our legacy business, which was this sort of meta search engine doing packages and trying to find great deals out of the vacation rental supply out there. And we started the business with the idea that this market was growing really fast, but was very, very opaque. And most players, you know, were a bit forced to take decision blindly. And a lot of time they had to leave money on the table. Whereas it is because of, you know, key decision, strategic decision, where to expand next, for instance, or pricing decision or distribution decision. All of these sort of questions and aspects of their business were based on almost no data. That's why we created Transparent, to help enhance the property management operation based on actual facts and neutral market intelligence.
Nice. Data-driven decision-making. So you've been around 3.5 years, you said. I met you in Amsterdam, I believe was the first time, right? In 2017. So you guys had only been around about a year at that point?
Correct. That was my first VRMA, the very first one. And that was the Amsterdam edition. It was great, actually. And since then, I think we've attended pretty much all of them.
Yeah, it feels that way. That's great. Yeah, you've been partnering with VRMA pretty heavily since then, and really heavily supporting the industry the past year or so, when you signed up as a gold sponsor for VRMA. So thank you for doing that. And you'll be doing that again in 2020. So that's exciting. We appreciate your support and partnership. And part of that partnership is a series of surveys we partner on, both in Europe, where it started, and then in North America as well. So talk a little bit about your thinking related to conducting an industry survey, kind of how that ties into your business model and your role within the industry, and kind of why you started in Europe.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, first of all, thanks as well for the partnership. You know, we're really excited to collaborate with you guys, and I think there's some great synergies that fits there. So basically, you know, we started with the idea that the industry is in general needs data for strategy, like I mentioned, but also for advocacy. And one way to do that is directly to survey, you know, market participants. So most of the other industry in the hospitality space got great reports, great survey, and our industry was sort of lacking this material. And that's with this idea that we created the first European vacation rental survey. And for that, we really wanted to make like an industry-wide effort. So we spent months talking to associations down here in Europe, concretely, you know, the Spanish one, French one, in the UK, in Italy, and Portugal, etc. And after a while, we managed to get to a volume where we could spread out the words across all of Europe. And that's what we did last year. We had around 500 respondents, which is a good quote, a good share of the if you want, market of professionally managed inventory or professionally managed property managers, if you want, in Europe, representing a great deal of properties. And based on that, we decided to expand and do the same thing in North America, counting with your support.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is we were already having internal conversations and actually forming the survey, because we were going to be conducting it ourselves. Then you reached out about the European one to partner with you. We said, absolutely. And hey, we're considering doing this in North America. And you said, so are we. So fate kind of intervened there, and we got to do it together. How do you think that went?
I think that went well. I mean, it was helpful to sort of have external views and you know, you help us out, sort of shape the questions based on your initial drafts. And we merged that with the ideas we had in Europe that we also built with some of the associations over here. And I think it came out great. It was the first time we do it. We're at around 300, a little bit more than 300 respondents, which is great for first edition. And, you know, I think it was needed. I think it's great to have neutral data for the entire industry, not only for property managers, but also for investors and for, you know, for vendors, everyone, for associations. Everyone is interested in knowing what's going on. And it's great to have a neutral reference for that. So, you know, from strategy, distribution, growth, marketing, operations, technology, everything is tackled in there. And I think everyone can find interesting metrics for their own business.
Absolutely. And the thing I'm really looking forward to, and we're going to talk about this more a little bit later, but we're doing it again in 2020. And the goal is to do this annually so we can have that year over year data and track those trends in the industry. I think that's going to be fascinating. I've been wanting that for years, so I'm really excited to get my hands on that.
Same here. And it's a lot of work, you know, but it's worth it. Like we, on our side, we spend countless analyst hours crunching the numbers. It's over 100 pages report, but I really think it's a worthwhile exercise for help. You know, it helps us out grasp trends that we wouldn't see otherwise. And it complements really nicely the rest of the sort of data and market intelligence we can gather with all the sources.
Yeah, and I don't have any analysts or data scientists or anyone like that on staff. So partnering with you guys is a huge help because we don't have those countless hours to put towards this. So it's been a great partnership. So let's talk about the results of that 19 survey. So you mentioned this was the first time we did this together, but you had the European survey already in the books. And that was one of the really compelling things about doing this together. You know, obviously VRMA has our event in Europe, but we're primarily North American association, but it's all, we always get questions about comparing the two markets. So you having that European survey in the books and getting to map some of the questions and data from survey to draw parallels and conclusions about the respective markets was really intriguing to us. So, you know, what were, from your perspective, kind of at a high level, the interesting parallels between Europe and North America, according to the survey results?
You know, I think the main sort of outcome that we had in both reports was that really we're talking about one industry, but it's really two markets. And that's something we hear more and more. But, you know, there is two markets within our industry, which is, if you want, the urban markets and the more leisure destinations. And those are very different characteristics. And you can see that in both geographies, both reports. You know, whether you look at growth of the businesses or technology adoption or age of the businesses, you know, basically everything is different, and you can really see how the industry is segmented into even, you know, channel mix, OTA distribution, or everything is very different in the two markets. So this really sort of transpires in the report, and you can see that in both Europe and North America. Maybe one point that I would say where we've got main differences is actually looking at the channel distribution. As you can expect, there's still quite some differences. I'd say that Europe is really a two-horse race, if you want, where you've got Airbnb and Booking.com that are far ahead in the distribution landscape. And then in the US, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit different. You've got obviously VRBO, HomeAway, Expedia, they're a bit stronger, and Booking that is behind in the case of US, and then Airbnb has got a different role as well. So it's interesting to see the differences in distribution in both geographies.
It is. And that whole urban versus the traditional vacation rental market is something we being VRMA and the board has had an eye on. And we've talked about this on a couple podcasts and on their member meeting and at the conference. I mean, you just see so much more of this kind of the increased fragmentation there. And before we did this podcast, you and I were even talking about the Skift Short-Term Rental Summit, which is really heavily focused on the urban side. And, you know, it's something that we're well aware of. Our membership is diversifying, and we have both coming to our events and looking for education and year-round benefits and content and education and networking. So that's part of our strategic plan as we're moving into 2020 and 2021. Is to focus on our member segments and make sure that we're serving them correctly and offering the best value to the right kind of members at the right time. So our members are going to hear a lot more about that, and this data is going to help with that. And I'm sure you guys will play a role in helping us reach those markets and spread the good word about all working together. So there's so many similarities, but there's a ton of nuance in the business models and the operations on the day-to-day. So we're wrapping our hands around that too. It was really interesting to see the data substantiate that. So regarding North America, talk a little bit, you mentioned the number of respondents, but what about the locations of the properties and the number of properties that were managed by the respondents?
Sure. And maybe before we go into that, into your question here, before I was just pulling out some numbers. The average age of a urban property manager in the US is 2010, so, you know, 9 years from now. And in the seaside and rural, it's 2002 and 2005 respectively. So, you know, it's the industry is a little bit less mature in the urban market. That's a younger industry. And I think that's why we're going to see, you know, a growing interest and probably hear more and more about that part of our industry as you know, it matures more and feels the need to going out and advocate and communicate a little bit more. So I think that's part of why the SKIF Forum is taking place today in 2019, is that, you know, there's a need to hear more about this this particular part of our industry. And yeah, no, and you were asking about location, right?
Yeah.
About the location, about the respondents. It really varies, right? So we've got, I think that the European one and the US one were a bit different from that point of view, speaking about this fragmentation between urban. If I remember well, in Europe, over 40% of the respondents were actually urban, and 43 would consider themselves as mixed. And then we already had like only had like 20% that were really, you know, sort of seaside or rural. In the US, the respondent type were very different. We had like 14% urban only, and then 32% seaside and 20% rural. So say 50% seaside and rural compared to rural to urban and mixed, right? So very different mix. And I think the urban markets are a bit less represented in the survey we made in the US, which affects some of the numbers that we may discuss later. And then in terms of location, well, in Europe, we had mostly the coverage from Spain, around 190 respondents there, more than 100 respondents in Italy, more than 100 in the UK, and then France, Portugal, and then a little bit all over the place. In the US, in comparison, I've got some numbers in front of me. A big chunk of the respondents were actually from Florida. We had 25%. So that's a huge representation here for Florida, California, North Carolina, Colorado. So sort of what you could expect from this seaside and mountain, you know, leisure type destinations are well represented here in the US survey.
Yeah, if you did a heat map of the survey respondents, it would align pretty nicely with the heat map of our membership in general. And it's interesting if you come to our events, say the European one, you would pick up on that there's more urban managers there, property managers, than there are when you come to an event in the States. It is more the traditional rental markets. So it's interesting that the survey aligns with that. And the big picture theme from the survey, for the most part, is growth. So amongst those markets and locations and types of property manager, where are you seeing the growth as most prevalent?
Yeah, well, here there's no big surprise, you know, like the urban market as a less mature business, if you want, have been growing a bit faster than let's say the leisure ones in the US, especially. You could see this difference. I think the growth last year was 50% revenue growth year on year for urban property manager, whereas you had the average for seaside was 18 and for rural was 25%. So that's very interesting to see, you know, and logically less mature markets are growing much faster, and as property managers are picking up this growth, you can see that nicely in their gross booking, you know, changing year over year. And what I think was also very interesting for us to see that actually the estimated growth for the next 12 months that property manager had in the Uber market was actually dropping to 27%. So they grew 51% in average last year, and they decreased to 27, their expectation for next year. So they're getting there. They're getting to maturity. I think there's a bit of an impact from, obviously, you know, new regulation. And I think that is showing in the data here. On the other side, on seaside, if you're a seaside property manager, well, the average in the US was to grow 80% your gross revenue, your gross booking last year. And people expect to grow by the same amount next year. And then for rural, it's a small decrease to 20% growth expected to next year. These are the averages for the US that you can use to sort of benchmark yourself against.
Yep. So decreasing growth to 27%. That's unbelievable. That says a lot about our market and our industry right there.
Yeah. So to be clear, it's still growing by 27%,
right.
But yeah, not as much as before. You know, like it, like I bet a lot of the hoteliers wish they could grow by 27%. They certainly not all can, but this is to give you an idea, you know, of the overall sort of slowdown of this growth.
I would guess most companies in most industries would be really happy with that type of year-over-year mm-hmm. growth. So one of the takeaways in the executive summary, besides the growth, talk a little bit about consolidation and really specifically at the urban level. So how does that play into the numbers and how did you come to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, consolidation is a little bit about, you know, and this is based out of our executive summary. That's something we see coming. We've seen coming in Europe. You know, there's been some companies merger over here. There's been some company that have been available for sale. In the US, this has been something as well happening. And you know, you've had company like Vacasa who've really sort of relied on acquisition and an external source for their growth. And this is something that we can imagine would accelerate as the external source of growth are slowing down. You know, like markets may not grow as much as before, so you need to find out new ways to grow your company, and as well as, you know, capital flowing. And, you know, we've seen a lot of capital coming into the industry in the last years, and we think this could translate into a little bit more merger and acquisitions activity. It also makes sense in the context of, you know, urban market where you've got, you know, a lot of potential operational efficiencies that can be reached by growing the number of units that you manage. And I think this could translate into a acceleration of the consolidation. To mitigate that, I will also say that I do believe, you know, our industry is very local and there will always be room for extremely good player locally. And, you know, that mitigates a little bit, but we do see a lot of room for bigger players to take over market share.
Got it. So I want to come back to that point, but overall, you've talked a lot about growth and the bookings and overall bookings year over year clearly being up. And that aligns with direct bookings also mm-hmm. going up or expected to be going up year over year as well. So what do you attribute that to? Is that based on, you know, consumer and category awareness? Is it more sophisticated property managers using more sophisticated marketing tools? Is it a combination of the two or something else entirely?
Yeah, so concretely in the respondents, you know, answer, the average share of direct reservation was 38% for the last 12 months and expected to grow to 40% in the next 12 months, right? So a small growth on direct reservation. We were actually quite surprised because this number is pretty high, you know, almost 40% of your reservation coming from direct is quite high. And obviously it's not the same all over. So if you look at urban markets versus, again, the seaside and mountain, it's a very different mix. The urban are much more reliant on the OTAs. And on the other side, the share of direct reservation even goes up in the urban and seaside. So that's quite interesting to see. And I think this is something, you know, our industry should, you know, keep in mind that the share of direct is still quite important, especially among professionals. If you'll see as the companies grow, you've got more and more directs. I could tell you above 100 units in our respondent, 52% of the reservation are direct. It's really, really high. You know, it's much higher than Europe actually. And from 2 to 9, it's only 20%, 20% direct. So I think that the growth is overall due to companies growing and having more, you know, capacity to invest in marketing, more capacity to get returning guests and basically doing a little bit better job at getting this direct booking as they grow.
Yeah, some of those more mature and sophisticated companies, you know, they get 90% plus of direct bookings in some instances. And, you know, you hear some talk about listing site independence and exclusively doing direct bookings as well. So is that more unique to North America than it is to Europe because of the numbers being so much higher here?
Well, they're also quite high in Europe. They're if I just recall, I think it was around 27%. So it was still high,
yeah,
not as much. And I think it is balanced by the fact that we had a lot more urban property managers that were a bit more dependent on Airbnb and booking in Europe than you can be if you're on a sort of seaside or mountain destination. So this would explain the main differences. But again, I think these numbers are quite impressive and they should not be neglected.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember being in Prague earlier this year and talking to some of the newer urban property managers who hadn't been around a long time, and literally some of them were 100% through OTAs of their booking. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have any direct capabilities or functionality yet. So I know that's not unique to Europe, and that definitely exists in North America, but it's interesting to see those parallels. So speaking of all these different ways to book and drive revenue, you guys, being transparent, do a lot with revenue management mm-hmm. in addition to all of your business intelligence and comparative data type work. So you even have education tied to the topic. So you want to talk about that for a little bit and tell our listeners what you're doing with revenue management?
Sure, Dick. So, you know, revenue management has become basically the hot topic this year. Everyone been talking about it. And obviously providing data to, allow property managers make smart decisions on their pricing strategy and their occupancy and measuring their competitors. We thought about doing something about revenue management in the space. What we realized is that, you know, when we wanted to learn a little bit more about it, and that there were almost no materials. So if you look at revenue management for the hotel industry, you've got masters that you can study at Cornell to be, you know, a professional hotel revenue manager. And there's ton of PDFs and video content and tons of things you can find online. But obviously, hotel revenue management does not really apply well to short-term rental or vacation rental revenue management. So we decided to do something about it and create the first online course for short-term rental revenue management. It's a small course we put together. It's around 30 sessions, and they're all very short, around 4 or 5 minutes video. I've got 4 or 5 quizzes in between of each of the main sort of groups of sessions. And then you've got a ton of PDFs that you can look at your own pace. It's there's no start date. You can consume it at your pace, and that's all online. We wanted to do that because we thought that's what we would, you know, I wanted to have 3 years ago when we started to look into the space, and we didn't have it. And we thought that could be interesting as general in the industry. So we make it for free, available for free to VRM members and to our own clients. And otherwise, it's you can purchase it online for, I think it's $299, and it's for a lifetime. So it's basically, you can consume it whenever you want. And companies like HomeAway, Booking.com, and large property managers have contributed to it. So it's all gathered by, you know, industry professionals who've been doing revenue management in the space for a long time.
There you go. So join VRMA, get that for free.
And, exactly.
Use that as the foundation for getting your vacation rental management professional certificate through VRMA. And actually, by the time this comes out, we should have all of the recordings from our recent international conference in New Orleans posted and available online. There were some data and revenue management sessions there. So we sync up the slides with the audio. And if you weren't able to make it to a particular session, you'll have some education there as well. So tons of revenue management education out there. Thank you for giving us some context on what you're doing. So
it's all good. I mean, the end goal is that, you know, as an industry, we move forward.
Yep.
Because every business is going to, you know, benefit from that. Whether you, you know, locally look for a revenue manager, well, now it's really hard because there's not that many people have been trained. But, you know, hopefully in 3 or 4 years, there are going to be more and more people available to help your business grow in that direction. And same for us, you know, at the end of the day, we're providing tools for, among other things, helping revenue manager do a better job. So the more people out there are trained and formed, the better it is for everybody, we think. So, this for us, it's a pleasure to put this content together. We had no experience doing online course. So it's a first version, and we'll keep doing some more.
So relative to the survey and revenue management and pricing, mm-hmm. I noticed in the North American survey, only 40% of respondents indicated that they update their pricing at least weekly, mm-hmm. so daily or weekly. So that's 60% who aren't. And that seems like a missed opportunity, correct?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, revenue management is not only about, you know, how often you update your rate. That's a good signal that the industry is, you know, doing better. Like if you look at numbers, in the past years, they've certainly grown. You don't necessarily have to update your rate on a daily basis if you've got the nice system, the right system attached to your strategy, right? If you've got the right tools that automatically produce discount for last minute bookings and reduce, like Tom said, as you get closer to the date, and reduce rate as you get closer to the check-in date. you know, if you've got all these tools set up, you don't necessarily have to be on top of it every day. It's important that you do set up your rate in a way that they will respond to the demand, and it can allow you to make these extra dollars at the end of the year, right? So depends on the tools you're using. And in general, I think it's encouraging to see that it's becoming an increasing source of concern. And as the industry matures and people need to look for new ways of, you know, making this extra margin at the end of the year, I think that's it's a great way and a great opportunity for everybody.
Yeah. So at the same time, it seems like far more North American companies are using market intelligence than European companies are. So is there some nuance in there tied to what you're saying about what tools you're using, where they may just be outsourcing pricing to a third party, and some of the North American ones are doing that a little bit more in-house, or what do you attribute that to?
So you're referring to the percentage of the respondent that said they would use market intelligence. I think we see two interesting things. The number in the US are really high. So a big share of the property managers nowadays are using market intelligence tool. I think if I remember well, I mean, I'm just going to pull it out while we chat, but I think it's way above the European one. On the other side, what we had is remember it was a bias on the segment. If you want, the urban property manager in Europe were much weighted, much more weighted in there. So at the end of the day, a lot of these players are already using some sort of dynamic pricing tool.
Right.
And at the time of the survey, we're not necessarily, you know, looking at market data. I tell you what, though, we've been running the new version of the survey in Europe, and the numbers have drastically changed, so they look much more similar. Concretely, in the US, I got the number in front of me, 68% of the companies have been consuming market intelligence the last 12 months. And I believe that the number in Europe are going to be equivalent or even higher after the new version of the survey. And last year, they were much lower.
Okay, so that's really interesting to hear. And that's one of the things I'm really, really excited for the 2020 version of this study, is seeing that technology utilization and the numbers year over year as it relates to certainly dynamic pricing, keyless entry, smart home assistance, operations management tools, all that good stuff, all those cool companies you see in our exhibit hall at our conference. I have a feeling we're going to kind of get to watch the industry get more technologically sophisticated through these survey results. And it sounds like you're already seeing that in Europe, specific to the dynamic pricing or the market intelligence. But are there any other trends you're seeing in Europe with the new survey versus last year's?
Yeah, well, you know, definitely see the share of and the adoption of new technologies growing. We haven't finished crunching the numbers, so I can't give you any definite numbers there, but we do see that. And in general, I'd say that, you know, our industry by default needs to be more tech savvy than others, because by default, what we do is much more complicated, you know. Obviously the inventory the properties that you manage, they're just a lot of time scattered across different areas, different geographies, and makes it naturally harder to run operations than if they were all in one place, all from the same owner. So I think that a lot of property managers from day one had felt the need for using software, whether PMSs or channel manager, you know, to run their business. And I think that's why our industry should not be shy or anything like that in terms of where we are in terms of technology adoption. If you were at the, you know, New Orleans annual conference of URMA, you could see the amount of technology provider kept increasing tremendously. I think the room was packed. I don't know where you can do the next one, because we keep going like that, we won't fit in the location.
It's in Orlando.
Well, Orlando do offer big hotels as well, so that's great. But you know what I mean. Like, at the end of the day, you could see it attending the conferences. There's more and more players, and I think we're there already. And if you look at the hotel technology adoption, there's even things that we're using today that the hotel industries haven't even started. For instance, you know, companies like Noise Aware providing noise control. I don't think hotels do a lot of that in their rooms. We have, you know, connected thermostats, because obviously we can't control as well. And, you know, owners are more concerned than the landlord of your hotel. So we've got to adapt to the needs of our of our clients and owners. And for that reason, I think we've early on adopted technology that are not necessarily there in the traditional hospitality space, if you want.
Right. So thank you for the opportunity to do a quick plug for the 2020 International Conference, October 18th through 21st at Disney's Coronado Springs in Orlando. We did have over 120 companies in the exhibit hall this year in New Orleans, and that number will keep growing. And the year after that, we're actually at a convention center where we can really, really grow. So you do not want to miss that. That's really the only place in the industry you can come and see so many of those companies in one spot and find new tools and services to help grow your business. So, but there's a lot of education there as well. So from VRMA's perspective, back to the survey, I'm guessing one number that we're really focused on that's going to go up is the number of respondents who think, and this is an unfortunate one, think that regulations are going to harm their business. It's only at 55% right now. And it seems like, you know, as we see more stuff pop up daily, that number is going to continue to grow, and we need to continue to push back like we're doing and beef up our regulatory efforts. So
It's crazy if you think about it, right? Like one of every two player in the US is concerned about regulation. Like what other industry has got such a high number of people concerned about their business? That's crazy. You know, like 55% is still a reason to be, you know, highly concerned. When one of the every two player is running his business on day to day, having a concern on the back of his mind that regulation might harm him. I think that's quite unique. And that's why I think local advocacy groups are really important to make sure that we fight everywhere we can get the best regulation possible. And I know a lot of people are engaged behind that and doing a great job at it.
Yeah, and you can see that. You can see the narrative here, how quickly the industry is growing and how that's eating into other industries' profits. And they're fighting hard on the regulatory front and succeeding in some instances. And that's why it is so important for us to push back there, because that's a very real fear and a very real thing. So,
yeah, and this plus I think we've got a bit of bad publicity that I think is due to the fact that we're, you know, a lot of actors and it's a very fragmented industry. So it's hard to get one voice over and explain that, you know, we're businesses that have been around for many, many years, you know, 10 years in average in urban markets, but even more in rural and mountain.
Yep.
Destination and seaside, where, you know, this is a way of traveling that generates revenue locally, that generates employment, and that is not something bad, and that, you know, owners and homeowners live off with, so they can afford like a second home or even their main home. So I don't think a lot of time it's about how we advertise our industry in general to the general public. So, you know, policymakers do not use us to sort of have quick wins locally, and I think that's important, and we see that in a lot of geographies where we try to help with market data to help people understand that, hey, this industry has been around for many, many years, and it's basically a viable alternative to hotels here in your local town or city or you know, county.
Yeah, we were just talking about that before the podcast, how you're going to be helping VRMA with some of those efforts as well. So thank you for your partnership there.
The more the industry grows, the better it is for everybody.
You got so
everything we could do here, happy to help.
You got it. So that question, kind of the sentiments question, the one that scored the highest on the question was people indicating that distribution costs are increasing. So let's get back to that, because 79% of respondents feel that's true. Now that ties into, you know, the hot terms like margin compression, our company's profits and bottom lines. It also ties into direct bookings going up. There seems to be kind of an ongoing balancing act here and finding the right mix. Do you think that this is something that's going to kind of constantly be in flux? Do you think we'll find an equilibrium? You know, what are you anticipating trend-wise there with that sentiment and kind of the numbers we're seeing on the booking side?
Yeah, I would envision distribution costs potentially going down in the future. You know, we've seen two new entrants this year, big new entrants. Let's say you've got Marriott, Homes and Villa,
yeah.
These initiatives by Marriott, you know, trying to offer an alternative for distribution to property managers who want to partner with them and distribute their properties to the Marriott audience, if you want. And I think that's one way to sort of diversify your source and your distribution. So acquiring new guests. That's one interesting point here. And the second one is Google. As you know, they're entering into our space. It's not super clear yet what's going to happen, but you can already go on Google and search for short-term rentals. So I think this creates additional competition for the existing players, so the existing OTAs, and potentially we could envision that distribution costs would go down thanks to this competition. So that would be one way where we would be very positive about it. Even though it's true that, you know, the direct marketing costs by, you know, doing SEM, so, you know, paid advertisement on AdWords or on other channels is probably likely going to go up as there is increasing competition, right? So there's might be a balance here, but overall the OTA cost, I would say, is not unlikely to go down in the next few years.
Interesting. So yeah, I would anticipate seeing some more data around Google in the 2020 survey and some questions specific to that. So
yeah, we'll see if people as worried as this year, right? 79% of the respondents were worried about costs going up. We'll see if that's still the case next year. Hopefully it goes down.
That'll be interesting. That's going to be the beauty of doing this thing annually. Mm-hmm. So putting this thing together, specifically the report, is quite an effort, because the report itself, for those who haven't downloaded it, is a 100-page PDF. So, you know, it's not like we had 200 questions in there. So tell me a little bit about, you talked somewhat about the segmentation, but you want to dive a little bit deeper into that really stretched this report into a 100-page
PDF. Yeah, it sounds scary, 100 pages report.
It does.
The reason why we did that is we prefer to put more than less in there. And I know some people really want to see specific questions answered, and we really wanted to get more people happy possible. So it's that's basically the idea of why we segmented it so much. The main segments being urban, like I said, beach, mountain. So you can always see the numbers broken down by this sort of three types. Then we've got the size of the company. So a lot of times, you know, growth, technology adoption changes a lot by the size and how many properties do you actually manage. So if you are a 50-unit property manager listening to us today, well, I want you to have, you know, a reference of how the other 50 units property manager are doing, and you can find that in the report. We've also got some other segments like age of the company, and, you know, in some cases we also looked at the state where we operate and this kind of thing, so you can really compare as much as possible, apples to apples.
Cool. So if people want to compare those apples to apples and dig deeper into this report beyond this podcast, it is available to them, correct? Where can they get it?
Correct. Well, if they are VRM members, they should have received the email from your team. Actually, they should have the report and the 2019 US vacation rental survey in their inbox. And if not, they could just go on our website and ping us at any of the available forms or email out there. We'd be happy to send it over. And same thing for the respondent, should have received all of them an email thanking them for their participation, letting them know that next year we're going to do another one and attaching the document.
And wherever you're listening to this podcast, just open it up and look at the show notes, and we'll put the link in there so you can go directly to it. And if you're a respondent or a VRMA member, get free access.
That's cool. I wasn't sure if we could do that, so great you mentioned.
Oh yeah. Yeah, VRMA is high tech now. We got show notes. We can put that in there.
Amazing.
Okay, and you guys, well, you put out a few pieces of content on this as well, and VRMA too, but where can listeners find those? We'll try and put some links to those in the show notes too, if you want to send a couple of those to me. But you guys have some content on your site.
Yeah, you can go on ctransparent.com, our website, seetransparent.com. You can find on the publication section, we try to do one or two posts per week. And we've got a few posts about, you know, crunching specific numbers on the report. So we had, you know, interesting piece about growth, about OTA satisfaction, about technology adoption. So it should all be in there.
So thank you for that. And, you know, looking forward to 2020, are there any questions you think we should be asking that we didn't ask in 2019? You mentioned Marriott and Google, and maybe some questions specific to them.
Well, you know, I think that the survey covered this part pretty well. Like you mentioned, I think it'd be interesting to maybe add something about, you know, new distribution channels. And we'll see what comes in the year. You know, we still have 6 months to go. And I think we'll start the year talking to property managers, seeing what are the trends, and we'll shape the survey with what we see as most relevant. At the moment, we haven't seen anything strike through, let's say, as interesting new questions that we should look at.
Well, 2020 hasn't quite started yet, so we've got some time, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so I think we did a good job covering the survey at a pretty high level there. So just a couple quick questions independent of the survey. What are you looking forward to in 2020, both professionally and personally?
There's tricky question. Professionally, I mean, you know, like every year, we're trying to grow. We're a small company, so we're 32 employees now. We were maybe a third of that a year and a half ago. So hopefully we can continue growing the team and putting more resources into our tool and growing the tool. So that's mostly, you know, what we're going to be focused on the next year. And personally, if I could find a bit of work-life balance, that might be a good, you know, a good objective for the year. You know, I've been traveling a lot this year. I've been pushing a lot. So this next year, I expect to do the same as well. And hopefully I can find a few more time to rest, because it comes the end of the year. And it's been a long, long 11 months so far. And I look forward for the holidays to rest with the family, you know.
Yeah, you were just telling me about the weekend that just passed. It doesn't sound like much of a weekend to me. So, yeah, you need some rest.
Can't complain. You know, if you love your job, that's part of it. But at the same time, you know, you gotta know how to rest. And this is all something we can all learn about doing better.
That's right. Well, you'll be coming to Lisbon in March, correct, for VRMA Europe?
Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah.
Excellent. Maybe stretch that out. Take a couple of days. Well, drink some port. Well,
we'll be throwing out a party, so I may need some couple extra days to recover. We're planning to throw a party for the attendees. So if you're around and want to join us in Lisbon, you're
oh good. I'll be crashing that. I'll crash that party again. Absolutely, you guys cool. Throw a good party. Cool, good deal. Any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Parting our wisdom, boy. I tell you what, like I was talking to my co-founders the other day. And as every year, you know, at the end of the year, we try to sort of draft out the plan for 2020. And as you know, most of our listeners today are property managers and themselves entrepreneurs starting their business, I mean, or building their business. I think that it's might be a good exercise to go through your 2020 plan. That's what I was doing this weekend. And, you know, looking through what is your strategic intent of your company, what's your core value proposition to your owners, you know, what do you want to get achieved with the product and tech in the next 12 months? What do you want to get achieved in marketing? What's your sales plan? You know, how are you going to build out partnerships? Who do you want to hire for your team? How do you want the picture of your team look like in the next 12 months? You know, and your financials, all of these are good points to go through. That's what I did on my side. And I'm sure a lot of you've done it, but if not, go through that plan. It feels really good, and it's a lot of work, but at least you start the year and or at least you finish the year with a clear vision of where you're heading. And I think that's quite helpful. So any business could use that.
Clarity of vision. I love it. Great advice. And that will drive more growth trends that we'll be seeing in these future year surveys, right? So
yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Excellent. Outstanding. All right. Well, Pierre, thank you so much for your time. I hope you have an outstanding new year and get some rest, and we'll see you in 2020.
Thank you, Mike. I'm super rested and with a ton more energy for next year.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Pierre. Talk to you soon.
Amazing, man. Right. Ciao, ciao.
All right. Thank you, Pierre. Very informative and entertaining as always. As you heard, there's much more to come here with this survey. We'll be doing future surveys. Again, this is more data to drive our advocacy and education efforts. So please contribute as we continue to tell the story and our narrative of the industry and the great work that we do for our communities, the state and local level, for guests, for homeowners, and all the economic impact that we stimulate and provide. So please continue to participate in these surveys. And thanks again to those who did. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks for our last podcast of 2019 with Cliff Johnson, a true industry expert with Rented. And we're going to dive deep into revenue management and some more industry trends. You won't want to miss that one. So subscribe now so it hits your inbox as soon as we publish that. Thank you again for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Track Hospitality Software is owned and operated by a 20-year industry-leading hospitality company, TravelNet Solutions. Track is a portfolio software designed specifically with your vacation rental management company in mind. From cloud contact center to vacation rental management software, including features such as trust accounting, maintenance, housekeeping, owner portal, guest portal, channel distribution, and more, all in one platform. Create seamless operations and increase revenue with Track. To learn more about Track Hospitality Software, visit trackhs.com.